GPB belongs to Georgia, and you are the center of everything we do. Become a GPB sustainer today or increase your monthly gift to fortify our work, enriching Georgians of all ages. Visit gpb.org to donate today, and thanks.
Coming up in this episode...
She lives in Savannah, and she has written a delightful work of historical fiction based on one of the most scandalous trials of the 1920s.
Oh, is that the Scopes Monkey Trial, the trial of Leopold and Loeb?
Nope, but I think you'd get a good score on scandalous 1920s trials in the Jeopardy round.
So many facts, so much you can find when you dig into the, just Google this case and you'll get tons of information.
This podcast from Georgia Public Broadcasting highlights books with Georgia connections, hosted by two of your favorite public radio book nerds who also happen to be your hosts of All Things Considered on GPB Radio. I'm Peter Biello.
And I'm Orlando Montoya. Thanks for joining us as we introduce you to authors, their writings, and the insights behind their stories, mixed with our own thoughts and ideas on just what gives these works the narrative edge.
So let me tell you something about the way I think about picking my next book. Maybe you're like this too, I'm curious.
All right.
It depends on how much mental effort I want to expend. You know, like, how much is this book going to ask of me? Is it going to give me an easy ride, or am I going to be on the
same page?
How
do you know that before you read it?
Well, sometimes the author has a reputation, you know, like Cormac McCarthy, for example, is one that's like, man, I got to bring a lot to this text. Do I have the energy for this? And then sometimes it's just like I've mentioned on this podcast before that I like Stephen King. He doesn't demand a whole lot, but it's fun. Both are fun in their own way. But yeah, that's one way I think about it. And I'm curious what this book today is going to be. But do you, in general, think that same way? Or how do you think about
it? That's not how I pick books.
How do you pick them?
Generally, if the subject speaks to me.
This is the subject. It could be challenging or easy, but if it's the subject, you'll plow forward no matter what.
Yeah, I will.
Yeah, okay. So what about today? What are we talking about today?
Well, it's another selection from the Savannah Book Festival. We went down there recently and came back with a lot of stuff.
So who is this one?
This is Denny Bryce. She lives in Savannah, and she has written a delightful work of historical fiction based on one of the most scandalous trials of the 1920s.
Oh, is that the Scopes Monkey Trial, the trial of Leopold and Loeb?
Nope, but I think you'd get a good score on scandalous 1920s trials in the Jeopardy round.
Okay.
But I didn't know about this one. It was a trial called Rhinelander versus Rhinelander. Had you heard of that?
I have not heard of that one.
Well, it's about a very wealthy and prominent New York City real estate family, the Rhinelanders, and the black woman who passed for white who married into it.
Okay. So given our conversation at the outset, is this the kind of subject that you would be super drawn to?
I think the historical time period being drawn to, the idea of wealthy families I was drawn to. And then, of course, the author's from Savannah. So
okay. You like to know who's doing what in Savannah. Got it. So, wow. All right. So a very wealthy and prominent New York City real estate family.
Yeah. The family was not happy at all when the son married a black woman who was passing for white. The family pressured the newlywed husband, Leonard Lenny Kip Rhinelander, we'll call him Lenny because that's what he's called in the book. Lenny sues his wife for an annulment, pressured by his family to do so, and he accused his new wife of tricking him into believing that she was white. His wife was Alice Rhinelander, the former Alice Jones, and she stands up for herself. She stands up for her love. She stands up for the money that she thinks she's owed from this very wealthy family. So it's got a lot of intriguing plot points.
Yeah, I would say so. So tricking him. So I have so many questions, right? How would Alice have tricked him? I mean, I'm guessing that because she passed for white, she just kind of didn't reveal her background and took steps to sort of hide. I guess she would have had to maybe hide some of her relatives too, perhaps.
The short answer is that she did not conceal anything.
Lenny, I imagine it would be so hard to do that. Like, it's just impractical. Why would
Lenny
you do that?
Knew all along about Alice's background, but as you can imagine, with any issues related to race, it gets very complicated very quickly, and we'll get into those complications. Mm. But what's not complicated is the love that Alice and Lenny shared. And the book, being historical fiction, can take the newspaper stories, the court records, the mountains of publicly available information about this trial, including their love letters, and weave them into a fantastic read. It's a book about love, it's about lies, it's about family connections, money, fame, the press, and also the changing social atmosphere of the 1920s.
Well, take me back to that time period, the 1920s. What kind of car are we getting into go there, first
We're
of
getting
all?
Into a Packard.
Oh, Packard.
with a rumble seat.
Lovely, lovely. And what are Alice and Lenny doing in that rumble seat?
Oh, what young lovers do, Peter.
Oh, hold hands, right?
They've been doing that forever. But, you know, what changed about the social atmosphere in the 20s as it relates to Lenny and Alice is it's the jazz age. We've got flappers, we've got new technologies, people are breaking with the traditional moral standards, new fashions, and did you know the song of the time that was called Anything Goes?
Anything Goes in that rumble seat.
In the olden days, a glimpse of stocking was seen as something shocking. Now heaven knows anything goes. And so Alice, the daughter of a Jamaican-born cab driver, and Lenny, the son of a powerful, rich white family, both feel emboldened to go outside of their class and their race to see each other in secret and to test the limits of their adventure. And here's where I'll introduce the author, Denny Bryce.
And so they start a, you know, young person's affair. It's the 20s. There's a lot of excitement to be freer with your lifestyle than the generation before. But keep in mind, these are British immigrants.
She's talking about Alice's family there, the Jones family. They're the British immigrants.
And they have like a 3-year affair, and then his father interferes a couple of times with that affair. He's not really happy with what's going on with his youngest son. And then they get married. And this is after 3 years of, you know, struggle and love and passion, and then they get married.
And that's where we get our first complication.
Yeah, so for the Joneses, I mean, they're British, but do they think of themselves as black?
They think of themselves as white. So the words used at that time and used in the book, and so we'll use them here, were Negro and colored. And Alice's mother is white, no question. She's from Britain. Alice's father from Jamaica, on the other hand, is mulatto. And that's another term we don't use anymore, but it referred to lighter-skinned people of color. And under the social order of that time in Britain, there was no raised eyebrows about a white woman marrying a mulatto. In Britain, they did not have, as there was in America, the, quote, one-drop rule.
That's the rule that held that any, you know, drop of blood from a black ancestor made you a black person.
Yes. Yeah. And so the Jones children, including Alice, born and raised in America, grow up not thinking anything about their race. Alice is white as far as she is concerned. And when she's accused of not being white, she says it over and over again, I am white, I am white.
So then if Alice thinks she's white, then what makes her have to see Lenny in secret? Is it class?
That's Lenny's doing.
Oh.
That's Lenny's doing. Lenny has the most to lose from a scandalous relationship, namely his inheritance. And so his father, the CEO of the family, learns of this affair and ships Lenny off to Arizona, thinking that he's going to end their relationship that way. It doesn't. And then all hell breaks loose when they secretly get married and their marriage becomes public and front page news.
And you said Lenny tries to annul the marriage.
Yes. And here's where we learn about Lenny's character, because it's clear that Lenny loves Alice. He's tender to her. He wants her. But his father doesn't. And he, Lenny, can't stand up to his father.
I think he's a little spineless. I think that he was the youngest son. He was definitely a stutterer. He was definitely lost his mother when he was 12 years old. And he was sent to a school by his family to try and buck him up make him a stronger guy, get rid of his stuttering, etc. So I think that he was very much dependent upon his family. At the same time, Alice, that relationship made him feel independent. But the bottom line in that time period is that he didn't have a means of making money. He was a Rhinelander. He had no skill set other than what the family business told him to do.
And so Lenny caves to the family pressure, and this takes us to where we get to, the title of the book, where we started, The Trial of Mrs. Rhinelander. And this was a headline-making scandal of, you know, National Enquirer proportions back at that time.
Yeah, I bet. And so I want to ask more about that headline in a minute. But first, what was the legal question that has to be settled in this trial? Is it, you know, Alice's race, her father's heritage, the one drop rule thing?
No, because in New York at that time, it was not illegal for colored and white people to marry. The question before the jury was, did Alice deceive Lenny into thinking that she was white?
Yeah, okay. So that's what you said earlier, that Alice had, quote-unquote, tricked Lenny. So again, I ask, how does he claim that he was deceived?
And again, I'll say he was not deceived. Lenny met Alice's father. Alice's father and Lenny got along really well. Obviously, and this comes up in the trial, and it's the most sensitive and painful part of the book, but I'll talk about it anyway. Obviously, Lenny saw Alice naked, and there were certain aspects of Alice's body that were more colored than others.
I see.
And so she strips down to her underwear in front of the jury.
Whoa.
In a private room in the courthouse, but in front of the jury and the judge and the prosecution and the defense to show what Lenny would have seen. Lenny knew. It's Lenny's father who wants this marriage shut down. Alice fought to keep it. And the moment Alice wins this trial is when she takes ownership of being colored.
All this while, she's denying that she's Negro. And then it looks like that the annulment is going to go through. So she comes up with it and she goes, oh no, I know how I can win this and keep him. I am Negro, and he knew it. And that move to me was fascinating. It just gave me so much character to work with from, because keeping my historical fiction, biographical historical fiction, yes, so many facts, so much you can find when you dig into the, just Google this case and you'll get tons of information. But that character, that woman, that's who I was seeking between the headlines.
So Alice wins at trial. Her marriage is not annulled. Sounds like a pretty awkward car ride home. Does she get back together with Lenny?
No, they don't get back together. Because at this point, after all that Alice has been through, she, you know, sees herself for what she is, and she sees Lenny for what he is.
Spineless.
Spineless, not standing up for her, and this is not a good guy. And so she makes that change as well. So they don't get back together, and I'll leave the rest for you to read. I've already given away the trial's ending, but I'll just say that Denny Bryce carries this story forward into how it affects the characters that we've come to know. There are more characters than just Lenny and Alice. We find out how it affects the Jones family decades down the line. And so it does go past just the trial.
So back to the headlines about this case. Who was mostly favored in the press? Did the press largely favor Alice or Lenny?
There was a little bit of both, but they mostly favored Lenny. Lenny got portrayed, not all the time favorably. He was portrayed as an idiot. Alice got portrayed as a gold-digging liar. But the thing about it is, pro-Lenny or pro-Alice, anti-Lenny or anti-Alice, the thing is, these stories were relentless and unending for years.
Like, how many years are we talking?
A decade.
Ugh.
Decade or more. And their families were dragged through the mud. Anyone even remotely connected to this story got tagged into it decades later, you know, so-and-so, so-and-so, comma, Rhinelander, comma. Mm. Could you imagine that? You know,
for so long, it sounds like a nightmare.
They couldn't leave their houses. And, you know, I grew up in the 80s and 90s. And for me, you know, this was the story of, you know, Princess Diana, O.J. Simpson on TV. But back then it was in the newspapers.
Newspapers were the TMZs and the social media of the back in the 20s of today. And the way, quote unquote, celebrities or definitely the very wealthy are presented in the press or chased by the press hasn't changed that much. The press has changed dramatically, in my humble opinion, but still that interest in others, money others and scandal, it hasn't changed all that much.
So this book was a window into those headlines, a window into that time period. But like any good historical fiction, it brings you in with imagined details that the news just can't report.
So what gives this book the narrative edge?
Well, there's the story itself, the way the story moves through two different time periods. I didn't reveal this yet, but the book takes place in two time periods. We have the 1920s, contemporary to the events in question, and in the 1940s, when a young black female reporter is trying to get her Aunt Alice to talk about the events of those years. So the story, you know, I didn't know where it was going. I didn't Google it before, so I didn't know where it was going. And there's a real element of danger. You know, are they going to succeed or fail in this love affair? And the way you're reading it, there's a good chance for both. There's a good chance that they could just, you know, sail off to Hawaii or Europe and live in peace. There's also the scene setting in and around New Rochelle in New York and New York City itself, the hotels, the cars, the fashion, how they talked. The story, Peter, is the bee's knees. and other phrases like that, you know. I love it. And, of course, learning about the reality of passing and its dangers. And ultimately, it was just spending time with determined, sometimes flawed characters who, despite being rich and famous, are a little bit like us.
All right. Well, the book is called The Trial of Mrs. Rhinelander by Denny Bryce. Orlando, thanks for telling me all about it.
My pleasure. Thanks for listening to Narrative Edge. We'll be back in 2 weeks with a brand new episode. This podcast is a production of Georgia Public Broadcasting. Find us online at gpb.org/narrativeedge.
You can also catch us on the daily GPB News podcast, Georgia Today, for a concise update on the latest news in Georgia. For more on that and all of our podcasts, go to gpb.org/podcasts.
You know, every day on Up First, NPR's Golden Globe-nominated morning news podcast, we bring you three essential stories. At the heart of each story are questions. What really happened? What really mattered? What happens next? At NPR, we stand for your right to be curious and to follow the facts. Follow Up First wherever you get your podcasts and start your day knowing what matters and why.